We are back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to an episode of ATW, and I am very excited because he's here with us today, Will Washington. Wait. All Elite Will. Wait. AEW Will. Wait. That's all I've got. Will Elite. Will Washington. What's up, Will?
Hey, Denise. You know, I have missed that theme song. Like, genuinely, I actually have missed it. It was, like, a great part of my week, and I am genuinely happy to be here. I'm happy to be doing this show. I don't know. It was weird because I did this whole, like, goodbye to podcasting thing, and, I did this countdown week. I left Grap City, and I did my goodbye to this show. And then, like, within the first 2 weeks of being at AEW, like, hey, when I host,
it was 2 months.
And then it was like, hey, when I host AEW Unrestricted, I'm like, yes. And so, so I am still technically doing this every week with Aubrey Edwards over on AEW Unrestricted, but nonetheless, it's different here, right? Because, like, I don't know, for people who aren't aware, but I feel like if you follow either one of us, you're fairly aware that, regardless of us doing this podcast, we've still remained fairly good friends. I think we talk more now than we did.
Are we allowed?
When we were doing
People online are like really weird about it. I remember when you gave me a birthday present and people were like, why is Will giving Denise a birthday present?
Oh, yeah. They were like, oh, buttering up the wrestling media. Here we go. I'm like, okay. Or people are just friends. Have you ever thought of that? Because, like, you and I, we went to the Mariah concert together, which that was a funny story because we missed so much of it.
But oh my God, you need to tell that story, right? As soon as you're done, you need to tell that story.
Okay, yeah. Either way, we did go to Mariah concert. Like, the thing is, we're still really close. We still talk all the time. It turns out that friendships extend beyond professional wrestling. Who knew? And so, by the way, how's that Easy Bake Oven?
And so I still haven't tried it, Will.
That's okay.
Because
I
have to get the mix in, so I have to actually do like the, you know, I have to get like the little cupcake stuff and things to actually do it. So it's literally been sitting there in my kitchen since the moment I got it, waiting to be used. Don't worry,
Not gonna lie, I basically got it as a novelty because, as it turns out, you have a real oven. You don't actually need to do that. But either way, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad that we're doing this show. And I would say that the last, like, 7 months, actually, it's almost 8 months. It's been 8 months since I started with All Elite Wrestling. It's, you know, I don't feel like the same person from 8 months ago. Whenever people stop me at events, I say this all the time, that they'll say, hey, I miss you on Grapsy, miss you on RBR, miss you on After the Week, but it's great to see you here. And my response is always like, if I started doing those shows today, started them again, you would not get the same me that you got 8 months ago, because I think just a lot of things have changed with me in 8 months, and a lot of my thought processes have changed in the best way. But either way, that's why we're here today, because like, there's a lot to talk about. We got World's End coming up literally tomorrow night, pay-per-view, live, Bleacher Report, and Thurlow TV International. But like, there's so much to talk about, and I'm just excited to be here. This is fun.
So, but yeah, we gotta talk about the wrestling. You gotta share the Mariah Carey story. Oh,
Denise, we got stuff to get into without the wrestling, period. Like, I have a lot, but we'll start with the Mariah story and how, for the first time, we didn't miss much because I went to two Mariah concerts.
Can you please reveal how much I paid for that ticket too? It needs to be part of the story.
Oh, do you really want to admit that?
I'm willing to admit that.
All right, you paid like $600 for your ticket.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God, you paid that much for your ticket. And so did I. So it's whatever. But yeah, that's how much was paid for your ticket. So we got there fairly late. I would say when we walked in, they were doing the Christmas cover of My All. It was the It was the choir cover of that. And so if you look at the set list, which you can find online, you'll probably find out how much of the concert we actually missed through the process of simply leaving late, trying to find parking. And we parked like so far away that we needed to Uber from our parking spot.
Hollywood Bowl, ladies and gents.
To the Hollywood Bowl. That's how far we ended up having to park. And like in hindsight, we probably should have just Ubered to begin with. But that would have been an expensive Uber. So regardless, we missed a lot of the show. But on the positive side, as Denise is
we
not so much
40
eight.
Minutes of the show, Will, we got there and we thought the show had just started and we're like, oh, uh-huh. We probably missed two songs because we thought the show started later. We get in there and everybody's like, where were you guys? And we're like, what are you talking about? We're not even that late.
Oh, it wasn't until the
ends.
Yeah.
And we didn't know. We were like, I looked at you and I was like, Will, the concert's over.
Oh, yeah. No, so we got to see the entire medley of hits because essentially we missed all the Christmas stuff. We saw her whole medley of hits and All I Want for Christmas Is You. That's what we got. And as you tend to not be a Christmas Mariah person, you didn't have to. Because when I went and saw her later on, I was like, you know what? Hindsight, Denise didn't miss a whole lot. Like if you're a Christmas Mariah person, we missed a bunch. But if you wanted to skip all the Christmas stuff and get to just her hits, we didn't miss anything. So you have that going for it. Unless you wanted to see her kids perform. Did you want to see her kids perform?
Not really. I was there for Mariah. But I was just like the whole time I was like, God damn it. We missed half this concert. I spent this money on this ticket. And I missed most of the Mariah Carey concert. And Will, it was all your fault. I blame you for that. Because you were like, oh yeah, Denise, the concert's going to start at this time. Look, the concert did not start at that time.
Because night one, she did start at that time. And then we went to the second night, and she started earlier. And then when I went to her fourth night, she started later again. And so it was like, either way. I want to talk about something else, though, Denise, because this has been something I've been, like, waiting to talk about for the last week. You want to talk about friendship stuff? All right, here we go.
I'm about to get roasted. I could feel it already.
Okay, so I want to take people back to the final regular episode of After the Week with Will and Denise. Because there was a discussion that was had on that episode that somehow 8 months later found itself relevant. Let's play that clip, shall we? Producer, can we get that clip?
IDR, if non-wrestlers get the All Elite, but I'm going to pop when you get yours, Will. You deserve it, bro. Says Black Macro Kid.
Macro.
God damn it. Oh, I hate it. You guys need to come up with easier names to read. It's because, well, first of all, my vision's not great, by the way. So I'm looking, for some reason, Will, I don't know how you feel when you're like reading people's, when you're reading people's super chats, do you read them when they're on the screen to the front of you or do you read them to the side? Because I have this My thing is I read them on the side instead of on the big screen. And so I struggle with my vision.
Do you need
and
glasses, Denise?
No.
The way you're... why are you so offended by this? All right, are we going
want glasses. No.
But Denise, if this is a necessity.
No, I don't care if it's a necessity. When I was a kid, Will, they sent my mom a freaking letter that said I needed glasses. You know what I freaking did? I
tore it up.
I fucking tore that shit up, threw it away. My mom never found out. To this day, she does not know that they sent me a letter saying that I needed glasses. Glasses do not go on this face, okay? Like, because I have like a really round face and like chunky cheeks, like I look like a cabbage patch. Can you imagine adding glasses to that? I hate you, Will.
Denise, I would like to update people on this situation because Denise Salcedo decided to what possessed you to actually go get an eye exam, by the way?
The universe kept showing me eye commercials and I was like, the universe is trying to tell me something.
Mm-hmm. And what did your eye exam determine, Denise?
Well, first of all, I learned that I should have probably gone to you because you explained the entire eye exam, and they did three tests and they basically determined that this eye here is fucked up. and from far away.
Which is what you were saying back on that clip, by the way. You knew that.
From far away, if I cover this eye, everything here is blurry. For example, I'm seeing blurry right now from far away. Like, I can't read the super chats from here or the comments from here. And so I got the glasses.
Denise got glasses, folks. I promised I wouldn't show them to the world.
You did me dirty, though.
But
you,
I did.
You were begging for a photo. And I said, no, Will, you're not going to get a photo. And this MF-er, Will, you freaking FaceTimed me.
I did. And I screenshotted. And it's now your contact photo in my phone. Denise Salcedo with glasses because she has to wear them. And you know what? As I suspected, folks, they look fine. They look perfectly normal. They look like any person you'd see on Earth who has to wear glasses. But Denise is officially part of... Oh, she brought them on! Yes!
I'm only doing this for a second, Will. And it's
No. Everybody, let her know. Does she not look perfectly normal with these glasses? I think they look great.
I look like a nerd.
No, you look like Denise wearing glasses. This is fine. I did tell you that you needed anti-reflective on those lenses.
Yeah, I didn't look, you can see that.
Yeah, I told you that you needed that. But look, everybody's saying, Denise looks great. Denise looks gorgeous. They look great. You look perfectly fine with glasses. But regardless, I knew it. And that was the update from this discussion. Denise Salcedo, officially an eyeglass wearer. And she's one of those people right now. And those of you with glasses know what this conversation, either you were this person or you know somebody who was this person. But she's like, oh, I'm not going to wear them all the time. I'm just going to wear them for this, just going to wear them for that. And then one day it's going to become entirely too comfortable for her. And she's going to keep wearing them and keep wearing them until next thing you know, Denise Salcedo is just a permanent glasses wearer.
Will, I cried over this, okay? I was in a serious depression. When you called me, I was so depressed about it. Like, I went down this, I just sat there on the couch and I was like, my life is over. That was it.
This was a real thing that happened. I FaceTimed her the moment she texted me that she got them. I'm like, oh no, we're not. She's not getting away from me on this. And yeah, you have glasses. Folks. You see this. You know this. It's fine. She's fine. Denise Salcedo, eyeglass wearer.
So, Will.
Sorry, I'm being bothered by my cat right now, by the way, who's just decided that this is...
Wanted to make an ATW.
Yeah, my lap was the place to be right now. Oh, and by the way, sorry, folks. I know you saw in the clip that I used to have the arcade going. Turns out the backlight went out on the screen, and I literally just ordered a brand new screen for it like 20 minutes ago, like right before the show started. So no arcade going. That's not a thing at the moment.
All right.
Anyway, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I'm gonna start asking you hard questions. Just kidding. All right, Will. So earlier you mentioned something about how you have now been with AEW for 8 months. Now,
yes.
Here's the thing. I was thinking about this, that this time last year, your life was so incredibly different. And now the last time you were here on the show was 6 months ago. And I still remember your first day where you were like, I'm going to wear a suit. I'm going to go every single day with my notebook. And you were like super, like first going to school for the first time, right? So now that you have been there for 8 months, you mentioned that you have changed. Tell us about how you have changed. What your confidence is, how your confidence looks now, how you are now versus how you were like day one.
I mean, so as far as the suit thing is concerned, man, that became too difficult to manage. That and I've put on a whole lot of muscle, and that suit I was wearing in my All Elite graphic didn't even fit anymore. Like literally in the shoulders, I went to put on the jacket and it like almost felt like it was going to rip. So there's that aspect of it. And thank you, Prince Nana, for being the one who...
I was going to say, are you going to reveal the story?
It made me start going to the gym. No, I'm not going to fully reveal that story, but that's the reason I started putting on muscle was my buddy Prince Nana. But as far as the... So that was one thing that like didn't really last. Like I still haul it out for like big pay-per-views. Like you saw me at Forbidden Door, I was wearing it. But like TV to TV, it's like I'm usually in my AEW hoodie. And that's that's pretty much it. And then I do carry the notebook. I've very much become a pencil guy. I started with pen, and I noticed everybody around uses pencil, and I was like, I wonder why this is. And then I realized that it's because wrestling is ever changing, and wrestling being such an ever changing entity, you never want to put anything down in pen because you never know what could happen tomorrow. And so you write in pencil, and that's and you know, I've learned from everybody. Vince McMahon was a pencil guy. Like, literally, you write in pencil when it comes to pro wrestling. That's the biggest lesson I think I've learned more than anything else. And that's such a great metaphor for the way everything works.
Is that why Sanjay Dutt always has the pencil?
It kind of is, yeah. he's a big pencil guy, and I learned a lot from Sanjay. I love Sanjay. But those are all custom pencils. He literally, those all have his name on them. So I, one day, like, I'm just a straight up Ticonderoga guy. My wife bought me like 4 boxes of Ticonderoga pencils. And that's what I do. That's probably been one of my biggest changes but ultimately, look, I am behind the scenes on pro wrestling TV, and that is something that I wasn't at this point a year ago. So everything about my outlook on pro wrestling as a whole has definitely shifted and changed. There's no places I'm the same.
No, and I got to tell you, Will, I saw the change in you. Just like listening to your conversations and things that you would say, I was like, oh my God, it's so wild. Like, but in a good way, though. I think you changed in a good way, where I feel like you just have a different perspective on the wrestling business and how things work, especially now that you're in the trenches. And that's the thing that I think it was a couple days ago, or maybe even yesterday. Yeah, I think it was yesterday. Tony Khan did a media call for World's End, previewing the show and all of that good stuff. One of the things that he mentioned was how you, Mike Mansouri, Brian Danielson, Sanjay Dutt, Jimmy Jacobs were all pitching ideas to him. Your click.
You just named. That's great. But yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
So with that being said, it's, you know, as your friend, I look at that and I go, damn, like Will Washington, like I know Will Washington, like that's his name, you know, it takes a second for me. Like, it's the Will Washington that I know. So for you, have you had like these moments where you're sitting in there and you're, you know, obviously it's work, but have you had those moments where you're like, shit, man, pinch me. Like, what am I, like, this is crazy how my life turned this direction after all of these years of being a podcaster.
I mean, yeah, there are times where I find myself in a conversation with like Bryan Danielson, and people say all the, I mean, I've said for years that this guy is my favorite wrestler of all time. And there are times where we'll just be in a regular conversation, or we'll talk on the phone or something like that, and I'll just go, what the hell? I'm having a conversation with my favorite wrestler ever. Like, this is just a thing. This is my life. And I've reminded him of that too. I've literally said straight to Bryan Danielson that, like, I have to say, this will never not be weird that, we're colleagues now. And, a year ago, it, like, literally right above this monitor, one day I'll show it, but literally right above this monitor, there's a Bryan Danielson poster right behind. Like, as I look into the camera, I have to be looking at Bryan Danielson holding a championship. Like, that's, like, literally, the fight for your dreams and your dreams will fight for you is a quote that I keep right here, and that's an important one for me. Like, Bryan Danielson has always been such an inspiration to me, just viewing him, but working with him even more so he is. And, yeah, that's definitely one of those places where it's hugely changed.
Bryan Danielson, and I think a lot of people feel this way, is when we see him on TV as this extraordinary wrestler, a wrestler that we're so lucky to like be around and be able to see wrestle in real time. So when you're back there doing your job and whatnot and doing everything that you do, with Bryan Danielson specifically, where has there ever been a moment where you are looking at him and going, damn, this dude's a freaking genius? Like, have you had that moment? Because he's a genius wrestler. So,
yeah, but those moments that come aren't like about pro wrestling. Bryan Danielson is so like educated on the most random stuff. And like, I almost want the next person that interviews him, I'm going to throw you a bone here. Because in the process of asking him about his eye patch, I, you know, made a pirate reference. And he proceeds to then educate me on the history of pirates. And just the amount of stuff that this guy's brain just like holds about the most I can't even call it random, because I can almost imagine what took him on that path to get there and learn all of this. But it's amazing. Like, I love picking Brian's brain about non-wrestling stuff, because it's fun. And I think that that's the type of person he is like, he loves taking in knowledge about so many different things in the history of the world. And I think that's really cool.
That is really freaking cool. I feel like I would love to sit down and talk with Bryan Danielson and get his thoughts, like, just based off of like the media scrums, some of the things he said in the media scrums. I'm just sitting there like, Bryan Danielson really just said that right now. He's had some really good gems for sure. Okay, so here's the thing though. In pro wrestling, on social media, on Twitter, here in the YouTube chat, like literally everywhere, fans love, including myself, to pitch ideas, to come up with creative, to come up with things, how things should be booked, how things shouldn't be booked. It's stuff like that. So we know that not everybody has great ideas. I've had some really shitty ideas. So with that being said, Will, when you're in a position of creative, what's your process? Because for you, like, let's say you come up with an idea. How do you know? How do you trust yourself that it's a good idea, and how do you run with it? So, like, what's your creative process?
I mean, it's hard to know that anything's going to be a good idea. Because, as Jimmy Jacobs likes to say, nothing has happened until it's happened. And even still, even when it's happened, you can anticipate that the crowd reaction is going to go one way and it goes a completely different direction. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, I've got to pivot on this. And so, for me, it helps me to have a plan A, B, and C when it comes to like certain ideas that I'm working with. And, there've been examples of things that, I thought I was attached to, and then I watched kind of the way it played out and I was like, okay, this needs to pivot just a little bit. Because I think fan reactions tend to be fairly, at least for me, easy to anticipate, but at the same time, you can be completely thrown for a loop on anything in pro wrestling. And that's been a big part of the learning process for me, is not staying attached to anything, because anything can change. The thing about pro wrestling, again, it's not like any other form of fictional entertainment where you film an entire season and you throw it out there and you just hope that it's all going to be received well. Like, we're changing week to week to week, right? Because, and it's not to say the process changes. A lot of the times, our creative does stay exactly the way it was going to go. But for the most part, you run into those situations where, because we're literally live every single week, anything can happen in that process. And that's the fluidity of professional wrestling. And that was one of the first lessons I had to learn. But it was one of my favorite lessons. And I think at this point, I very much just enjoy the creative process. I enjoy being a part of it. I enjoy those conversations with everybody. And then just getting to have conversations with the talent as well, and kind of figuring out what they see, what we as a company see, and then kind of figuring out what that middle ground actually is and how to proceed with that on TV.
See, I love that, because just like, even before you got this job, I always felt that you just had this like different mind when it came to pro wrestling. So I remember like the first thing I said when you got hired, I was like, this dude was freaking meant for this job, just based off of like knowing you and hearing your thoughts on certain things. So I think you have a really good instinct when it comes to what you think might be cool, what you think might work. And one of the things that you mentioned was crowd reactions. And that is like so key, so pivotal. But when you're coming in and you're the new kid on the block, right? When you come in and you're the new person, for you, when did you finally start feeling more comfortable and confident in yourself to be like, all right, this is exactly like something that I want to make sure I throw out there in the creative meeting, so that, you know, because sometimes I know that when you're new, you might doubt yourself.
Oh, yeah. No, are you kidding me? There was a very long learning period for me where I was like, you know, that imposter syndrome is definitely setting in. And it's even worse when I'm like, oh, I came from the complete other side. I came from the wrestling media side. Like, do I belong here? Should I be here? And really what it took was just little creative wins here and there of just like speaking up just a little bit and a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more until I definitely, you know, I guess I'll still call you when that day comes when I feel like completely comfortable. But at the same time, I think that drives me to want to be better at this and want to be, I'll never ever feel like I've got this down, but I definitely have taken a step back and have gone at times like, you know what? I do feel better about this. I do feel better in my role. I do feel better in my position.
Who's been the person that you feel has really helped you on that side of things to go with your gut, maybe give you some advice, teach you how some of the stuff works behind the scenes? Because obviously, you know, we know that there's so much that goes into production, putting together a show. Timing. I mean, there's so many different things that like us, the fans, we probably don't think of that now you're like so fully cognizant of. But for you, who's been that person that you feel has really helped you out like in the learning process?
I mean, it's been across the board because I learned a lot. I just told him recently that, you know, Sanjay Dutt has taught me a ton. But also who recently left, QT Marshall, I learned a lot from. And through our processes, I've learned a lot from Jimmy Jacobs. I learned a lot from Tony Khan, though. I learned a ton from Tony. And then also there's guys like Chris Jericho and Chris Hero and of course, Bryan Danielson, as we mentioned. There's so many different guys who I think, whether it's helping me understand the creative process of things, helping me understand the production process. Mike Mansouri, by the way, also is just the wealth of so much knowledge and all from his own experiences in professional wrestling. And again, there's Dean Malenko, Jerry Lynn. I mentioned Jerry Lynn before, but Jerry Lynn, I'm always learning from. And it's, again, like I said, it's there's so much knowledge in AEW. And I try to just take a little bit from everybody, from every side of things when it comes to learning the production side of things, learning the creative side of things, learning the in-ring side of things. Not that I'm talking about taking any bumps anytime soon, but at the same time, just learning the process of it because, you know, that I recognize that there's a unique perspective that I offered in coming to AEW. But at the same time, I wanted to combine that perspective with the knowledge of the creation of it. And I never want to stop learning. Like when it comes to anything I do, I never want to stop learning. And this has been an incredible learning experience through it all. And yeah, it's been something that I think, again, like I said, there's always going to be that imposter syndrome that's like, okay, I beat myself up about a lot. But at the same time, it's like watching where I've come so far, I feel pretty good about a lot of it.
That's awesome. I think the key thing to that was like getting little wins here and there, creative wins here and there, where it really starts to, you know, click with you and kind of like boost your confidence. Because in this type of role, I feel like you've got to be really confident. You've got to obviously know the product very well, know the history of AEW, which you do. So that's something that's very cool.
Yeah. And there are times where I feel like I'm always good for that kind of stuff, right? If it's like I remember back for Dynamite 200, we had that history of AEW or history of Dynamite video package we did that showed, you know, 2 years or sorry, 4 years worth of Dynamite moments, 200 episodes worth. Yeah, obviously, like just peeling back a little bit. You know, if there's a brain that can be relied on to remember all of those moments and pull them up and make sure that we get all of the best moments from AEW's history. But beyond that,
it's terrifying, actually. It's very terrifying.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, hey, I feel useful. Are you kidding me? This is great. So that's that kind of stuff where like that kind of thing will come in handy. And then it's little things like getting to use it creatively and things like that. It's always great.
So before we get to the super chats, I have a couple more questions that I want to ask you. So, Will, you mentioned earlier kind of working with in a different talents, getting to see talent grow. And now that you've been there for 8 months, you've seen a lot of talent go from where they were at to where they're at now. So with that being said, who are some of the names that you're just like really proud of now that you've seen the behind the scenes of their growth in AEW?
Sky Blue is probably the person I just I watch, and watching her grow into the role she's growing into, I think is really, really cool. You did an interview, by the way, with Claudio, or that just dropped today.
Just dropped. It's up right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys had mentioned having the same source on.
I wonder who that person is.
Yeah. Having the certain same source on that point that Claudio had the most matches in AEW/ROH. But the forgotten part of that is that he has the most for any male. Overall, the person who had the most matches between AEW and Ring of Honor is Sky Blue. She worked more than anybody across AEW in 2023. She wrestled, I believe she's at 67 matches for the year. And so when you think about the fact that this is, we run, obviously there's 52 weeks in a year. We start a collision halfway through the year. But she's been working on average on TV more than once a week. And I think that is just a testament to what she brings to the table. But this transformation of hers over the last 3 months, and you know, she got the new music, shout out Butcher Babies, she's changed the look up, and I see more and more from her every single week. And getting that victory this week over Chris Statlander, who hadn't been pinned, by the way, since she was defeated by Ruby Soho back at Double or Nothing, the Friday before Double or Nothing, 2022. So we're talking about a year and a half ago. Granted, Chris was out a lot of that time, but even still, she hadn't lost even before the injury quite a bit. And so for Sky to pick up that victory, just watching her growth over the last 3 months, I think has been just incredibly awesome.
That's so cool. I love that. And she's getting, so popular with the people. I think she's definitely going to have a wonderful 2024. So I'm excited to see that. So we were talking about you and your brain and all of these things that you remember, Will. It's so great. And you got your 2020 vision. It's so wonderful. Will, here we go. Straight to you. I want your top five favorite AEW matches of this year.
Oh, you cheated. I thought it was going to be three. Okay.
Okay, fine. Give me three.
Five? No, I can give you
okay,
five.
Okay, fine. Give me five.
Okay, in order or not in any particular order? Okay.
It's up to you. However you want to do it.
I want to do this from the time I started, because I feel like my perspective from prior to May is a little bit different. But from the time I started, Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay from Forbidden Door 2, I think, I actually went out into the crowd to watch that, and I couldn't sit still. It was just really, really special professional wrestling. I'm going to say Texas Death, Swerve Strickland versus Hangman Adam Page, I think is one of the most uniquely violent matches in the history of professional wrestling. But it was also an engrossing match that called upon so much of the story that was built up until that point. And it's just watching it from the vantage point I was watching it at, I can't believe they did some of what they did, and Swerve literally stapling himself. Oh my God.
What was your reaction to the blood in the mouth spot?
Insanity. That was more than anything else. I just was like, these men are insane. Then we've got the strap match between Bryan Danielson and Ricky Starks. I think that match at All Out 2023, altogether, I think that was one of my favorite shows, period. But for those two to do what they did in that match, for Bryan to essentially be, he talked about it in the scrum. He talked about essentially it being a lot of smoke and mirrors, but like, who cares? So if you were telling an incredible story with incredible action, talking with Aubrey about it, who was the ref in that match and getting to be up close and personal with it, oh my God, that was just an amazing piece of storytelling. It was an amazing piece of performance art. I thought what Ricky Starks and Bryan Danielson did that night with the strap was beautiful pro wrestling. Those are at least three I'd like to name, but there's always more. I would like to jump because technically I work for two companies. I do work for All Elite Wrestling and for Ring of Honor. And over on the Ring of Honor side, the main event of Death Before Dishonor between Willow Nightingale and the Ring of Honor Women's World Champion Athena, I think was a groundbreaking main event. I went out there and I watched it in person. And that was in Trenton, New Jersey. I went out there and I watched it in person. And to see those two tear the house down in that main event, and to see the people behind Willow the way they were, and just how intense that action got between the two of them. I thought they told a great story. I thought they had the crowd on their feet. I thought that the action was everything it needed to be. And watching Athena time and time again shut down the hopes and dreams of fans is quite a thing of beauty. That one has to be mentioned. And finally, I am going to go with, okay, I want to be fair here, because there's so many other matches I can mention, but I'm actually going to jump over to AEW Rampage from the Continental Classic Blue League, and I'm going to say Bryan Danielson versus Daniel Garcia. I told Garcia when he came through the curtain that that was honestly the best match I had seen him have in his whole career. But those two, that was professional wrestling. That was so good. It was everything I love about professional wrestling. It was the drama, the storytelling, the action, the intensity, the near falls, all of it. Like literally knowing who was going to win. For like half a second, I actually bit on a falsie. I literally was like, oh, did they lie to me or something? And then I was like, no, that's, that wouldn't happen here. But for a moment, I was so sucked into that match that I bit on one of the false finishes. And those two just did such an amazing job with that match. I mean, the whole Continental Classic, I think, is some of the best stuff we've ever done. But that particular match really stood out to me as one of the ones.
A lot of good stuff, man, in that Continental Classic. Reg, you know Reg.
He's okay.
Yeah, you've heard of that guy. So he had said that literally Bryan Danielson versus like anybody in that tournament. And I'm like, yeah, he's right. When it comes down to it, Bryan Danielson versus everybody is literally what has been phenomenal in that tournament. But there's also been so many other guys, like you mentioned, Daniel Garcia, that really got over with that. When he got that one win, everybody popped so freaking
massive
huge
pop.
For that.
It was very good. Yes.
Yes, that was incredible. Will, we got a couple of super chats here that I want to go ahead and get into. Let's see what we got here. This is from Crazy 101, who says, glad to have Will back. Thanks for Swerve versus Lee.
Thank Tony. He is the booker of the show.
Chad 722 says, Will, is Denise the devil? Happy New Year's, guys.
Yes, but not the one under the mask.
Damn, Will Savage. Amir F says, Denise got a water bottle. You know it right here. Heel Hammer sends in a super chat saying coleslaw. And we got Glassdoor Gamer who says, I love the Swerve Hangman storyline. Will, how'd you feel, man, getting to see all of the buzz that came off of that feud specifically for Swerve Strickland?
Great. I think it was a uniquely told story. And I thought that even though only one guy won, I feel like it really helped. Like, I think it put Swerve on the path he's on now. You know, Tony talked about this yesterday, that the rise of Swerve Strickland over this last 6 months has felt really organic, and it feels like the fans are getting more and more and more into him. And for him to take two straight victories over a former AEW world champion, but at the same time, they weren't exactly the cleanest of victories, and I feel like Hangman didn't necessarily lose anything in that story. And so, yeah, I thought it was incredible TV.
It definitely was my favorite feud of the year for AEW 2023. We got Deontay Swingier here who says, just wanted to say I'm so excited about World's End, and I'm so excited to see two of my most favorite people in the world. You two motivate me a lot, and I'm glad you're both killing it. All love, guys. AEW World's End, I want to touch on that, of course. My first question in regards to that, Will, when you look at this card, because it is a massive freaking card, what are some of the matches that you're just like, all right, baby, let's go. Can't wait to see this.
I mean, Denise, I don't know if you know this, but I work for All Elite Wrestling. So therefore, I am always in promotion mode. So the answer is going to be all of them, baby. This is going to be quite the card. I mean, when you look at the entirety of this card, we've got, and I'm going to go over all these matches here, Denise Salcedo. So
go for it, man.
Let's freaking go, because we have got a 20-man battle royal for a future AEW TNT championship match. Anytime, anywhere. We will announce the participants later, but it's, again, I think when it comes to battle royals, we've had, especially in 2023, like one of my favorite matches, the one that should have gotten an honorable mention, is the International Battle Royal, the Blackjack Battle Royal from Double or Nothing this year, that Orange Cassidy won. But that's one of my favorite battle royals ever. But yeah, to do this 20-man battle royal for a future TNT championship match, I think is going to be a big deal. We also have the FTW rules match for the FTW championship, Hook defending the title against Ring of Honor's pure champion, and that would be Wheeler Yuta. We've got, and of course, at any point, more could be announced. But we've also got on the main card, we've got for the, to crown the Continental Classic champion, to crown the inaugural Triple Crown champion, Ring of Honor World Championship, the New Japan Strong Openweight Championship, and the AEW Continental Championship. We're talking about holding a championship across three entire companies. Eddie Kingston will take on John Moxley. It's a story that's been brewing for so many years. These guys have been the bitterest of enemies. They've been the best of friends, and now they fate has brought them back together to go one-on-one, and this time it's the finals of the Continental Classic. Eddie Kingston went through quite a bit to get here. This is a man who started out the Continental Classic 0-2, and as you knew watching it, three losses and you were out. And so Eddie Kingston had his back against the wall pretty much for the remainder of the Continental Classic. And he came back. He avenged that first loss against Bryan Danielson in a phenomenal match this past Wednesday on Dynamite. And here we have it. The finals of the Continental Classic. Eddie Kingston versus John Moxley. Very much looking forward to it. We also have for the TBS Championship, Julia Hart of House of Black defending the title against Abaddon. How have you felt about this story so far?
I've been intrigued. I like that they got me reinvested in Abaddon. And just like Sky Blue, I love seeing the growth that we've been seeing with Julia Hart as well.
Julia has been another one that just kind of before our eyes has grown. And I think it's a testament to the title itself, the TBS title. Speaking of women's championships, we've got the AEW Women's World Championship. Timeless Toni Storm, the AEW Women's World Champion, will be defending the title against the very first AEW Women's World Champion. Like, literally, when I say very first, I mean on the current championship, she's literally on the belt. Riho, the very first AEW Women's World Champion. This is her first time competing on an AEW pay-per-view since, if I remember correctly, Full Gear 2019, when she defended the title.
Wait, what?
When she defended the title against Emi Sakura. And here we have Riho, or at least in a singles match. In a one-on-one match, this is the first time we've seen Riho in a singles match on pay-per-view.
Oh, shit. Damn. Well, you know what? I'm happy to see Riho in this match and get this opportunity. Hell yeah.
Yeah, and this could go either direction. We know that Timeless Toni Storm is she, look, genuinely one of my favorite acts on
television. Does she call you
television.
Will backstage, or does she call you William, darling? What does she call you?
I don't know. It's usually Will, and it's great. But
is it Will, darling?
But she has definitely... She definitely gave me a whole rant about because she's timeless. I walked in and she was like, is that a watch? Don't you know I'm timeless Tony Storm? We don't have watches around here. I was like, oh my God, this is so good. But either way, AEW Women's World Title on the line. This is going to be excellent, I think. I think Riho, as great as she is, I think doesn't get enough credit for how great she truly is. And I think her and Tony Storm are going to tear the house down. But continuing on, we have... Sorry, I just had everything pulled up right in front of me. We have an 8-man tag team match where we're going to see Ricky Starks and Big Bill teaming up with the Don Callis family's Konosuke Takeshita and Powerhouse Hobbs to take on the reunited Les Sex Gods, Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara, Sting and Darby Allin.
Yo. It's Sting!
It's Sting. Look, we had a lot go down this past week with Sammy Guevara leaving the Don Callis family, reuniting with Chris Jericho, and teaming with Sting and Darby Allin. We're approaching the end of Sting's career, so anytime you get a chance to see Sting and Darby together is always really cool. I think that Ricky Starks and Big Bill have been an unexpectedly great tag team, but then also we've seen a whole lot of dominance from Takeshita and Powerhouse Hobbs. And also, a little bit of reuniting. We'll see if Taz is really excited on commentary because it's the first time Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs have reteamed in almost a year and a half following the falling apart of Team Taz. So again, a lot happening there. We've also got a no disqualification match for the AEW TNT Championship. Christian Cage takes on Adam Copeland, his former best friend. We saw these two go one-on-one for the TNT Championship a little over a month ago. And we thought we were going to see a resolution here. However, Shayna Wayne, who is as tall as she looks on TV, folks.
Is she taller than you, Will?
I think she is. Have I ever seen her not in heels, though? So maybe. But either way, Shayna Wayne is tall. But Shayna Wayne will be... in the corner, Christian Cage. We've got Christian Cage versus Adam Copeland again, one of the greatest tag teams of all time. And we've seen them together. We've seen them on opposite ends of the ring. Last time, Adam Copeland nearly had the TNT Championship won, but Shayna Wayne, I can't even say double-crossed Adam because honestly, Adam Copeland kind of concertoed her son. So really... who's to say who had what coming? But at the end of the day, it's no disqualification now. We're going to see these two tear the house down. They've always worked well together, whether it's as partners, whether it's as enemies. And there's so much history there for the TNT title. We also have, speaking of teams with history, Swerve Strickland going one-on-one with Keith Lee. These two, the former AEW World Tag Team Champions. This has been a story that people have been waiting to see a resolution to for a very, very, very long time. Literally, it was a year ago in San Antonio where Keith Lee was betrayed by Swerve Strickland officially, got double stomped with a cinder block. We've seen them have many interactions over the last year. They've been on opposite ends of tag matches. They've had to reteam as a tag team in the Blind Eliminator. But finally, for the first time ever, Swerve Strickland goes one-on-one with Keith Lee. And, you know, both of these guys, I think, are in a very different position than they were a year ago. And to see they're in a very different position than they were as tag team partners as well, and to see the growth that they've both had, and to see where they've both ended up here, and... you know, the fact that since really the start of Collision, we really haven't even seen these two face-to-face. We haven't seen them on the same screen. And there's a little part of me that's really excited to see these two finally face-to-face in the ring together after all this time, one-on-one at World's End. Swerve Strickland went on a phenomenal run in the Continental Classic. It's unfortunate for him that it ended the way it did, where he didn't even get pinned. And he could have some frustrations to take on Keith Lee. But at the same time, Keith Lee has been targeting him for the last month and a half on Collision. He has been calling him out. And for quite some time, we thought he was talking about Shane Taylor. But once he defeated Shane Taylor, it was very clear that he had a different him in mind. And for that to be Swerve Strickland, for them to finally be going one-on-one, I think is also really cool. We've also got Miro going one-on-one with Andrade El Idolo. Andrade El Idolo, of course, being managed by Miro's wife, CJ Perry. And, you know, that one's really interesting here because anybody who has been tied to CJ has really felt the wrath of Miro, except for Andrade. Andrade went through a phenomenal run through the Continental Classic. Honestly, it came down to a tiebreaker. It was him and Eddie Kingston who both ended up with 9 points, but because Eddie Kingston defeated Andrade, Eddie Kingston had the tiebreaker. But he has shown that CJ has a lot to offer as a manager, and for Miro to now have Andrade in his sights, will he see the same fate that a lot of people who have interacted with CJ have had, or will Andrade continue his momentum? So I don't know. I'm excited for that one. We've got the 8-man tag. Speaking of the Continental Classic, pretty much all the remaining people from the Continental Classic are now in this 8-man tag match. We're going to see Claudio Castagnoli. We're going to see Brian Danielson. We're going to see Mark Briscoe from the Gold League teaming with Blue League's Daniel Garcia to take on Brody King, who is in the Blue League, Jay White, Jay Lethal, and Roosh, who are in the Gold League. And all of these guys, I think, should tip their hat to just standing ovation for these guys for what they were able to accomplish in the Continental Classic. And even though they're not in the final, I think they all proved a lot. And to do kind of this all-star match that has all of the Continental Classic guys in it who aren't in other matches, like Miro versus Andrade and Swerve versus Keith Lee, I think this was a great idea and a great way to showcase again what the Continental Classic brought to the table. But the granddaddy of them all, the AEW World Championship on the line, MJF, the longest reigning AEW World Champion of all time, is going one-on-one with the King of Television, Samoa Joe. Joe revealing this past Wednesday that he's been in cahoots with the devil. And it's almost like if you look back, oh my God, he has been this entire time, hasn't he? Because Samoa Joe, of course, costing MJF the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championships against the Devil's Masked Men. And then Samoa Joe revealing himself. Samoa Joe cost him that? That's not actually what happened. But actually, because it was the third guy. It was the third masked man with the lead pipe that struck MJF. MJF got hit with a heat seeker. And then Samoa Joe came out and cracked that chair over MJF, who is already walking into this match, as he's mentioned, with a bad shoulder, as you saw at the beginning of the match. We're in MJF's hometown, Long Island, New York. MJF has talked about wanting to perform on this stage, Nassau Coliseum. It's an arena that he grew up going to. And he's walking in as the longest reigning AEW World Champion, but his title has never been in more jeopardy than it is right now. Tomorrow night, Samoa Joe could walk away as the new AEW World Champion, but also we have the devil looming. And there's so many aspects to what's going on right now. I feel like the outcome of this match has never been in more doubt, because on one end, you know, you can very much see this being the end of the world for MJF. But at the same time, we're in his hometown. And this is a big, big night for MJF. So I'm looking forward to this. It's World's End. It's our first pay-per-view in New York. You can see it tomorrow on pay-per-view, traditional pay-per-view. It's on Bleacher Report. If you're watching internationally, it's on the former Fight TV. You have to check it out.
I got to tell you, I'm very excited for a lot of these matches. Of course, like, you know, you're mentioning getting to see the Blackpool Combat Club and all of the guys that were in the Continental Classic in that 8-man. I'm so excited for that, man. I think that's when that was announced, yesterday? I was like, oh, shoot. Like, this was such a good way to kind of round things out for the guys that almost made it to the actual finals. We have a super chat here from Hunter Tillman who says, all elite will. So good to see the dynamic duo back reunited. That intro shed a tear, just sending love and very proud of your success. Most favorite part about working with AEW so far. Happy New Year.
I mean, it's kind of a cliche answer, but I find myself looking forward to things like every single week. I think that I get excited. Like, I'm literally boarding a plane in less than 12 hours to be at World's End. And literally, I've only been home less than a day from Dynamite in Orlando this past week, which, shout out Orlando, phenomenal crowd in Orlando this week. They were so loud and so rowdy for literally everything. But San Antonio was great last week too. You guys with the two signs in the second row, the first and second row, honestly made the show. I'm always happy with every crowd, but these last couple of weeks have been really, really good.
Johnny wants to know when you're releasing your book from YouTube to AEW. to read that, Will.
It would go from podcast, I would say it's like from iTunes to YouTube to AEW.
Freaking iTunes.
Yeah. Or even like, because my podcasting run predated Apple having podcasts. It was actually, before that, it was podcast.net. Don't go to that site. I don't know what's there now. But so I don't endorse whatever that is.
Jose Palomara says, welcome back, Will. Did you have any tamales this holiday week? Which flavors are your favorite?
I'm guessing this is a reference to things happening on your channel, Denise.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff happening on this channel. But yeah, Will, you have had tamales though, right?
Of course I have.
Oh, thank God. I was like about to start questioning this friendship. Do you have any favorites?
No, I'm not particularly picky about them, but I do love them. I thought it was funny. I was watching you the other day and somebody asked you about the husk and you didn't know that was the name of it. And I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I didn't actually. I didn't know that. Matt Reichiel says, welcome back, Will. Miss Nuggets Hoops Talk. So pumped for John versus Eddie and the progression of the Devil storyline.
Ah, well, if you missed Nuggets Hoops Talk, let me tell you, Matt, the Denver Nuggets last night beat the Memphis Grizzlies by 30-something points. Jokic had a triple-double and didn't miss a shot. 11 for 11. This man will go down as one of the greatest centers in the history of the game. Yeah, it's been a good time.
Yeah, that just went over my head.
Do you know what else goes over your head? Championship banners, because the Denver Nuggets are your reigning and defending NBA world champions, baby.
It's Really Brian says, Wednesday was my first live AEW show. Seeing Eddie was right up there with seeing Becky win the NXT title. Come back to Orlando soon. Love you both.
Hey, I'm glad you had a great time. That arena has been very great to AEW. We've seen a lot there. We've seen, like, just right off the top of my head, I'm pretty sure Cody versus Malakai took place in that arena. We also saw Revolution 2022 was in that arena. That was Hangman Adam Page versus Adam Cole. Swerve Strickland debuted in that arena. And to get to do this show in that very building was great. And also the office area backstage was actually really roomy and there was plenty of places to sit. So thumbs up there. I'm not going to say which arena has had the smallest office area, but I am going to say that I am surprised that AEW has run that arena as much as it has for the place to be that small. That's all.
Okay. We'll piece the puzzle later on. Deontay Swainier says, Denise Salcedo, ma'am, you look fantastic with glasses. Yes, I'm hyping you up. I always will. Damn it. Pop off. Let's fucking go. Deontay Swainier, thank you so much for the love.
She should wear them all the time. She needs the anti-reflective because otherwise
Then if I get the anti-reflective, then I'm going to be wearing them on a podcast and I don't want to do that. I don't need them on the podcast. I can see.
This conversation literally came up because you were squinting at a super chat. What are we talking about?
Yeah, but that was just like a one-time thing. The greatest of all time, 74, says, is this Will's revenge for picking on Reg for Keith Lee versus Swerve? I picked a lot on Reg. I trolled him because he said this match was never going to happen. So
first rule of wrestling is never say never.
Now D says, Denise, they look good. Trust me, I was ready to make the jokes, but they look good. Oh my God, if anybody made a joke, I'd probably cry. Thank you so much to Matt Reichio. It says, you look great, Denise, with the glasses. I appreciate you guys letting me know that. All right, so let's go ahead and get some more here. This one's from Brian Smith, who says, hello to both of you, or happy new year to both of you. For Will, how has it been to get to know the AEW locker room? Anyone that it took a while to win over? Anyone surprise you?
Not my place to talk about personal relationships with anything. I mean, no one's really been a surprise.
Best friend, Will? That's the question.
I can't pick a favorite. I have developed some really close friends in AEW. You know, I've always talked about how Amanda Huber and Aubrey have become like very, very close friends of mine. I talk to them a lot, all the time. But those are the ones that everybody kind of publicly knows about anyway. Other than that, I'm not going to pick a favorite.
All righty. We have this question here. This is from T. And it's up to you, Will, how you feel about this one. It says, yay, ATW, glasses. Maybe I do need glasses. I'm here reading grasses. What's the biggest misconception fans have of AEW? What's it like on social media being on the other side of this discussion? Hope to see you both at All In.
I'll be at All In. Biggest misconception, because there's a lot of them. I mean, I said the last time I did this show that the biggest takeaway I've had is that nobody knows what the fuck they're talking about. And I wish I could say that feeling has diminished a little bit, but oh, it has not.
Will, you did me dirty. You told me you love watching my prediction shows so you can see everything that I got wrong.
Oh, that's great.
And then you made fun of me. You made fun of my predictions, Will.
Okay, I do that a lot. I actually watch a lot of wrestling podcasts and listen to a lot of them. Because I'm like, hey, how on the money are they with their thinking of like the thought process behind this or even their predictions, any of this stuff. And like when they're not even close, when they're not even in the ballpark, that's like my favorite thing. And I'm like continually going to get personal amusement out of that.
Yeah, thanks, Will. Thank you a whole lot. There's times where I'm like, oh, I feel really good about that show and my predictions. And then I look at my phone and you're like, you're LOL. Just making fun of me. Yeah, yeah, LOL. And I'm like, thanks, Will. You just made my day. Thank you.
Yes.
Mac from BK says, good to see you and Denise back together, even if it's only a one-off. I'll see you next week in Newark for Dynamite.
That should be a great show. I think, honestly, it's, you know, the first show after a pay-per-view, I think, is always exciting. But, yeah, I think that should be a really great show.
We got Alexander Fitzgerald, who says, I went to my first AEW show in Portland last month, and being there live was great. Will, what was your reaction when Adam Copeland signed to AEW? That was a big one.
Yeah, that was exciting. That was fun to get to do that. And I always, when Christian and Adam Copeland faced each other a few weeks ago, I sat back and I thought about their theme songs. And, you know, Christian comes out to his theme. And I thought, this was a theme song that was established in TNA. And then Adam Copeland comes out to his theme song. And I'm like, this was a theme song that was established in WWE. And to hear these songs played back to back in AEW is actually like a really cool little fact. That's like one of those things where you look at how much AEW is truly this... this amalgamation of so much wrestling history, where we've got history from Ring of Honor, we've got history from TNA, we've got history from the World Wrestling Federation, we've got history from WCW, but then we've got so much of our own history that is laid on top of that, and I just love how much of that AEW represents. And so, yeah, when Adam Copeland came in, it was just another one of those pieces of wrestling history that AEW gets to hold on to, and that's really cool.
It is really cool, honestly. Yes Boy says, what's a wrestling story y'all would like to see A24 produce? Insert actors you'd like to see cast. Give me an Eddie Guerrero biopic starring Pedro Pascal.
I mean, look, I had that same thought, and everybody's posted the picture of Pedro Pascal as Eddie Guerrero. I mean, you are on the money. That's the one. I don't think anybody should make another wrestling bio unless you get Eddie Guerrero starring Pedro Pascal. That's the one.
Von Twinblade says, hey, yo, is that Swerve's cousin? Been a while, Will.
probably multiple other things at this point, but sure.
Tyrone Kidd. Let's see what Tyrone Kidd says. Tag team back again. Hey, guys.
You didn't even sing that correctly. First off, have you never heard Whoomp? There it is. It's tag team back again. All right, go ahead.
No, I didn't even know that. That was like the way that I had to sing that. I didn't even realize it was a song until now. I just saw the little song symbol thing.
Sorry, go ahead.
All right. Tyrone Kidd says, tag team back again. What was how did it go again?
Yeah, tag team back again. It's literally the opening lyrics.
Tag team back again.
Yes, there you go. Okay.
Hey, guys. Will, much love and respect for your journey, bruh. Just don't go in the gym too hard. We already got one big swole.
Yeah, I can't help that. Although I've been sick the last week, so I actually haven't been to the gym at all in the last, it's been a week now. So I'm hoping to get back in Sunday, I think I will find the time, assuming all goes well with my travel home from Long Island.
MVF says, Will, big fan, been hearing Restore the Feeling a lot lately. Curious what that means to you when you hear that.
Look, I've been a fan of AEW since day one, and I know this product in and out. I've seen every episode of Dark. I've seen every episode of Dark Elevation. I've seen every Dynamite, Rampage, Collision. I've seen, like, even when I work on the shows, I still come home on Thursdays and rewatch the show as a fan. And I said all that to say that, to me, when you talk about the feeling, there's that feeling of what AEW brought to the table from day one. It was this different, you know, it was a different feeling show than anything else on television. And every single time you can get AEW TV to feel like that again, that to me is restoring the feeling. And I get that. And I think that the Continental Classic, for example, was one of the best examples of that. I think that when you had, an entire sports-based presentation through the entirety of that, through the entirety of the tournament. We did it round-robin style. We had the point system. But then we had these incredible matches that had no interference, that had kind of straight-up clean finishes. And then on top of that, we were also able to have these incredible promos. I think the promos should be what a lot of people got out of these. And we were able to tell some great stories with it, too. And that, to me, felt like, at its core, what AEW has always brought to the table, which is something unique to professional wrestling. And to me, anytime we can give people a piece of AEW that you can't get anywhere else, that, to me, is restoring the feeling.
Yep, I love that. Really great explanation there. Delayed Grad says, Will, if a water bottle has no water, is it A, waterless, B, zero water, C, empty, or D, it's C?
I mean, yeah, what kind of question is this? This is C, it's empty. Well, what? I'm guessing this is another thing from your channel where you said something silly and people made fun of you for it.
Yep, yep. Yeah, I forgot the word for empty water bottle, and I was like, you know how Action Andretti did the thing with the gulp and then he smashed the water bottle?
Yeah.
Well, I tried it, but I tried it in the on the podcast last Wednesday, but I asked Reg and the viewers, I was like, was that water bottle with water or was it waterless?
You mean empty?
Yeah, but I forgot empty. Waterless was just the first thing that came to my mind.
Okay.
Empty was just not in there. So there you go. thank you so much to Delayed Grats for that as well. All righty. And last one here. Van Twinblade says that they're going to be... he's just saying that he's going to be at Glory Pro. He's going to be at Glory Pro and brings up Warhorse and Jake something. And yeah, that sounds pretty cool, man. Sounds awesome, Van Twinblade. I hope you have an awesome time. Will, we're rounding out the year. We're going into 2024. We're all talking about it. Brand new you, brand new year. What's new year, new you? That's the whole thing. Will, what's the goal? What's the goal for 2024? What's the dream? What's the bucket list? What is it?
I can't answer that, Denise, because if you
for
had
you
asked
personally,
me, no, I can't answer that. And the reason I can't answer that is because if you had asked me at the end of 2022, what is your goal for 2023? Working for a professional wrestling company and helping create live wrestling television was not on that list. That wasn't something that I was ever planning on being or doing or even being good at. And if I may toot my horn just a little bit, I think I am pretty good at my job. And I know there's going to be the trolls who are going to try to remind me that I'm not. And to that I say, but truly, this was not something that I expected in my life, but I'm incredibly grateful for this opportunity. I'm incredibly grateful to be in the place I'm in my life. But to make any like, so it's really hard. The most I can say is, I want to see AEW continue to grow. I want to see AEW be in a really good place. And I think that when I look at the forecast for 2024 and how much is on the table for 2024, I genuinely, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I genuinely feel good. And so I say all this to say that, yeah, thank you to everybody who like supported me on this journey of mine over these last 8 months. A genuine thank you. I tell him all the time, but I'm still going to say a thank you to Tony Khan, because without him, this opportunity wouldn't exist. And World's End certainly wouldn't be happening, which is going to be happening tomorrow night, Nassau Coliseum. Tickets still available, awtix.com, and also available on pay-per-view, traditional pay-per-view, and it's on Bleacher Report. Come watch the show. See the show. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a good time. It's always a good time. I think that AEW on pay-per-view always does something remarkable. We had a great streak of pay-per-views, really, from Forbidden Door all the way through Full Gear, and I think it's going to continue with World's End.
Well, before we end the podcast, is there anything else that you wanted to add, or do you think we got everything? We still got one more question. Actually, we got a super chat here from Michael Wallace, who says, when is AEW coming to Arkansas? Keep up the great work. Have they not gone to Arkansas yet?
Never been. Keep watching the calendar, awtix.com.
That's awesome. Well, any last and final thoughts you want to get out there to the people, to the masses?
I'm not dying after this.
Hey, I don't know when you're coming back on the show, man.
Well, if you want to hear from me, you can always check out AEW Unrestricted, which is available every Thursday on all your favorite podcast platforms. And then we drop video episodes every Monday on our YouTube channel. And it's me. It's Aubrey Edwards, who's one of my best buddies in the whole world. I love Aubrey. And you can check me out. So you don't get any shortage of me here. I literally am sitting in this exact spot every week on AEW Unrestricted, but we get to interview some talent. We've got some cool guests coming up. We actually have an episode with, that's in a few weeks, but we'll be talking with Scott Taylor, who recently, as people know who were at the Orlando show, got to make his return to the ring, and he got a great pop. The audience all knowing the worm, it was all so great. Like I felt so good watching good old Scotty get to do all of that again. And that's it.
Awesome. Well, Will, I hope to have you back here on the show pretty soon. I always love chatting with you on the air and having this like moment to, you know, just talk about pro wrestling. We got another one here from Speed Punk before we close it out. It says, I went to AEW in Oklahoma and I'm going to go try to go in Tulsa as well.
You should go in Tulsa.
Thank you so much, Speed Punk.
Yeah. Coming up in January.
Alrighty.
February.
Alrighty,
sorry,
Will.
February. But either way, hold on. I can do this, right? Ready? Because we used to have music for this when we played. Yeah,
right,
that's right.
We did.
And I'm going to play it. Are you ready? So I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, this has been, I was about to say AEW Unrestricted, and that's not the case. This has actually been After the Week with Will Washington and Denise Salcedo. We'll see you next time. Peace.